Catherine is 20 and the eldest in a family of 9 children. When she was 16, her father walked out on them one day and never came back. They never knew where he went and they never heard from him again.
I was always kind of known as Daddy's girl, kind of, and then you're kind of rejected. It's not that maybe he didn't reject me, but I did feel rejected because you're kind of left sitting there. You feel an emptiness, like a loss, and you just can't explain, and you don't want to show your feelings because you don't want to upset other people. Like, you know, I didn't want to upset my mother because she's the best in the world, but yes, I couldn't say, well, like, I still feel empty, you know. But you do feel an awful sense of loss. It's a space nobody can fill. Although they try, they can't. And nobody ever will, I don't think. But I remember one time I saw him. I was at Mass, and I saw a man, he was staring at me. And this was only about 6 months later, and I felt confused, I felt excited, I wanted to go over, and yes, I was afraid in case he'd reject me, say, you know, I don't know you, because had he broke away, I thought, well, that was it, he wanted to keep away. But the Mass went on for about 40 minutes, and for the whole 40 minutes I kind of froze, I was shaking, and I wasn't concentrating, and I just kept looking. But I decided then in the end that I would go over and just get a better look. And it wasn't him, but still, if it had been, I don't know what I would have done. Like, I did get a fright. I froze, and it was a terrible thing to say. It was your own father, and you froze. You couldn't... I didn't know. If it had been him, I wouldn't have known what to say. Like, to say hello, or... You don't know, kind of. You get... You're stunned, because that was the first and only time that I thought I saw him. And if people say, you know, if he did come back, if you... What would you say to me? You just don't know, because that was only 6 months after, and I froze. Like, I'd say maybe now he might pass me in the street and I wouldn't know. You know, he might have changed. Maybe he mightn't have changed. But, like, I wouldn't forget his face as he left. But if he has changed, I wouldn't remember him. But I always remember that day. I froze solid. I didn't know what to do. I just kept looking and looking. And although I kept saying, keep your eyes, I couldn't take my eyes off his face. I was fixed on him, and the man must have noticed I was staring, because he was staring back at me, and that's what made it more obvious, kind of. But it wasn't him. But I still don't know what I would have done. Birthdays too is very depressing, more so for my mother. She gets very depressed when it's her birthday. I think she thinks, like, of the times when she had us, and she often does say, I remember when I had you and your father coming up with a bunch of flowers, and then she starts crying, and like, she's watching the post and there's no birthday card, and she's saying, how could he forget you? And you're saying to yourself, how could he, you know, how could he forget you? But apparently he has, and you'd love to see him and see, has he forgotten you? Has he got another family somewhere, or what is he up to? You wouldn't know. I don't think we ever will know, because it's so long now. But as I'm saying, like, on days like birthdays, you just, and Christmas, you sit there and you just think for a few minutes, I wonder where he is and what he's doing now. And you're wondering if he's wondering the same. You know, you're sitting there saying, thinking of him for 5 minutes, and you're wondering if he's thinking of you. Does he remember that it is your birthday? Or is he just going on from day to day? Like, you know, it's weird, really, like, for someone that's so close and yet so far away. We'd all go out Sunday to the country, maybe, and we'd have ice cream and minerals, and then we'd drive home, and then maybe him and my mother would go out that night, and I'd mind the children. But then when he went, there was none of that, and you'd see everyone going off Sunday, and you'd remember that you should be gone, but yet you weren't, and your mother hadn't got really the money to take us all on buses, because it was 9, and you just sit looking out the window, staring into space. And then it used to depress mother as well, because she'd look out and she'd know, and she wouldn't show her feelings, and we'd still know, you know. So I think it was that, and looking at other fathers coming in from work Fridays with bags of sweets, and like, there was nobody coming in with sweets to us. And although my mother used to get us sweets, it didn't mean the same, like, as having a father taking it to you. And maybe birthdays of girlfriends say, my daddy bought me this and my daddy bought me that, and you're just sitting there and you're kind of saying, oh God, you know, like, it's queer, you know, that you know that you have a father, but yet he's no good to you, like. It's not that he's no good to you, but he's just not there.
If life was the way it was before he went, and now, I think I'd prefer that he did go, because although it's a sense of loss, it's a sense of peace that we had too, because like he used to come in and cause a lot of arguments, and maybe you'd be lying in bed and he'd come in and there'd be murder. Now, he never done anything on me or any of the children, but it was my mother he tormented her. And like, he never gave us a bad time. It was her that really got the whack of the stick. So for her, when he was gone, although I missed him, and this is why I wouldn't kind of let her see I missed him, because she kind of got relief in one sense, although she missed him terrible in another sense. He was like a Jekyll and Hyde. Like, he'd be so nice one minute and then, you know, he'd change. So for kind of, for the Jekyll part, no, but for the Mr. Hyde, she liked him, you know.
Well, the oldest one felt it the worst because she, you know, being, she knew him longer, I suppose, and it was an awful letdown to her. For friends and that, you know, they was often, maybe they might say things to her and she'd feel hurt and she'd come in. And I'd know by her face and I'd say, what's wrong with you? She'd just go up to the bedroom. She'd say, yeah, nothing. She often did cry up in the bedroom, which she did. She often did cry and say, what did we do? What happened that he had to go away and leave us like that? And it was her, really, I felt more sorry for. Excuse me. But the smaller children, well, me having so many boys, they just come in, maybe their school bag, throw it there. They had plenty of friends and it did take an effect on them, but it didn't worry them as much as it did worry the older one. Because she felt that was, she'd been bigger, like, you know, the girl she was with and that, they'd ask her, why did her father go away and what happened and all. And but she couldn't really answer them because she didn't know that herself. So I'd say it was harder, really, on the older one. The two older ones, really, a boy as well. He felt the same way, you know, about it. You often got depressed over it. And that, you know. But I suppose you just have to get over it. I'd watch the post every morning saying maybe he'll send a letter today. Every morning I watch the post. It's an awful feeling when they go away first. Starting is an awful feeling. I suppose you just have to be a deserted wife to understand the feeling. I'd sit there maybe in the bedrooms in the evening, just look out the window and like the children with other children had their fathers. I'd be the same as other women with their husbands. I'd see them going off out and I'd be sitting up in the bedroom looking out and just fed up saying, why did so many years together and after having 9 children, why should I be just left like this? You know, and it's just an awful, it's most really degrading. It isn't so bad if you were a widow. At least you'd feel, well, when you're talking to people, I often wouldn't even say, if they say, where's your husband? I just say, be ashamed sometimes, say the truth. I just say, nothing. But, you're better off being a widow. At least you know where you stand. But being deserted, it's very degrading. You just can't help it. It's not your fault, but it is very, very degrading. It's an awful feeling. And that's the way I felt. Just don't know why he done that. I never done anything really for him to do anything like that. But he wasn't bad now when he was here with the children. And bring them in sweets and that of a Friday. He was never ill or anything to them. And I always thought he'd the eldest one he really loved. But I don't know. I never really thought he'd forget the children. Because when he was here, well, he did. He'd maybe bring them out or that. He had the car, he'd bring them out for a drive. And I just couldn't make it out why he could just go away like that. Somebody can just shut a door like that and forget they have 9 children. As when he was here, he was all right. Well, I thought he loved them anyway. I really don't know what happened to him.
In the Refuge for Battered Women in Dublin, there are about 30 children ranging from 1 to 16 years of age. Children with their special problems as social welfare worker Cathy Fitzgerald explains.
Generally, there are children who come into the refuge with their mothers who have suffered violence of some sort in their homes. Generally, when the mother leaves the home, they come here with them, perhaps because they don't want to stay at home with the fathers themselves, or perhaps because the mothers want to take them here anyway.
What age are you?
7.
And do you like living here?
Yeah.
What do you like about it?
We go everywhere. We go to the baths. And we do cookery.
And what would you cook?
Cream cakes, sponge cakes, and chocolate rice krispies.
You can? Do you miss your own home?
No.
Why?
Because my daddy used to kill me when I was at home.
He used to kill you?
Yeah. When we do this, he don't let us jump. And every time we get up early, he clatters us.
That's because you're waking up too early in the morning, maybe. Hmm?
Yeah.
And were you fond of him at any time?
No.
And were you afraid of him?
Yeah.
And you don't miss him now, do you?
No.
Would you not like to see him again?
No.
Never?
No.
Kira, do you remember when your father went missing? Did he just disappear suddenly or something?
Well, you see, he got a crack on the head and he rang up to say he'd be back in a few hours, and he didn't come.
Yeah.
Probably he's wandering around somewhere.
Someplace, yeah. Do you think he's in Ireland or in England or where?
Probably he's in Ireland somewhere.
Yeah.
Must be.
Well, Cathy, you spend a lot of time with them, teaching them drama and that kind of thing, is it?
That's right, yeah. I teach drama 2 days a week, once on Mondays with the younger children and on Thursdays with the older children. And drama, it's not acting and singing and dancing. Really what I do is rhythm exercises, teaching how to move their body, expressing themselves. And I learn a lot from them during a drama session. For example, we do help expand their role kind of models, you know. Like, it's not... Is it a mother's place to be in the kitchen all the time, you know? Or is it a woman's place to be in the kitchen to do the dishes? Why can't a man do this sort of thing? And we get them to reverse the sort of roles. And then again, another form of role play would be to them for them to act out the part of the father and the part of the mother. And it's quite amazing to see the amount of times that when the father's bringing the child to the doctor, that he beats him there, you know, and he beats him back. And the mother slaps the child because she won't go to sleep. But she doesn't slap them with like a tap on the leg or on the shoulder, but violently slaps them, you know. And this is all part of the violence coming out in them. Now, when they actually stop that particular... part of the drama course, we sit down and we discuss it, and I say, well, why did you slap the baby? Because he wouldn't go to sleep. And why did you slap the child on its way to the dentist or the doctor or whatever? And we talk it out, and they tell me why. And then I say to them, but wouldn't it have been better to do it this way and to do it that way? And then a week later or 2 weeks later, I come back and do the same exercise, and I find not a vast improvement, but generally, there is an improvement there.
Well, in this role playing, is the father usually a baddie or always a baddie?
Generally, yes, yeah. I have found with these children, yeah, the father's generally a baddie. Now, if I tell them to play the role of a priest or the role of a nun, the difference is quite amazing, you know. They immediately become calm, you know, and start giving out things and giving sweets. They see the role of the priest as being somebody who's kind and the nun who's somebody who's kind, you know. But the teacher, you know, again, this is kind of an authoritarian figure, you know. And even the teacher is quite aggressive with them when they play that particular role. But generally, yes, I would say in a lot of different roles that they bring them out as being violent.
Do you notice that they miss their fathers? Do they ever refer to them in any kind of way, or that they want to go to them?
Well, I think a lot of the children, when they come here could use the father as a threat against mother. For example, if something doesn't go right for them, if the mother wants them to go to bed at a particular time or won't give them a particular amount of money or whatever, they'll say, okay, I'm going home to my dad, and use it as a threat, you know. But if the mother sees that it is a threat, you know, she won't get as upset as a woman would normally do in this sort of circumstances. But then again, there are children who do talk about their dads and quite open about them and don't mind them coming to the door, you know, and are glad to see them. But as I've already said, that there are the other children who are totally indifferent towards them. They're just not interested. They're glad to be away from them, and they feel they can go to sleep at night without having to wake up to screams and listening to the father arguing or afraid of what time he's going to come in and will he be drunk or, you know.
We went over as a happy family, did a lot of us, and my dad started drinking and arguing. So my ma got free travel back to Ireland, and 2 weeks later he came back and he came to the door with drink on him, and he wanted to get my ma out. And about a week after, they made her up, and we got to the corporation, and they said we'd get a house, and we're on our seventh month here. And we haven't got a house since, and we were supposed to get it 2 months ago. And my dad's starting to drink again and causing fights, so my ma said she's not going to be taking him to the house.
What age are you, John?
I'm 13 years of age.
And what time did you leave England?
I'm not sure.
A year ago or 2 years ago?
No, it was only about 8 months ago.
Yeah. Well, did your father come over from England as well?
Yeah, he followed us 2 weeks after.
Well, did you get on with your father?
I got on great with him, only for when he'd have drinks, he used to beat me an awful lot.
Yeah.
You know, when he'd be sober, he'd be okay with me, but as soon as he'd get any drink, he used to beat me. And he'd be fighting with me, man, and all.
Are you happier here now than at home?
Well, we have no home, but if we had a house, I'd be quite happy, you know. I'd be happy enough, you know, if my dad was to stop drinking, stop hitting us or something, you know.
But you'd rather be away from him as long as he is drinking, would you?
Yeah.
Because
it's only going to be my ma's only going to end up back in here, you know.
Well, did you like your father?
I liked him, but when he used to beat me, you know, there was times I didn't like him and times I did like him. I used to be nervous when he had drink on him. I used to have to stay out until such a time then come in, you know, when I think he'd be in bed or something. When we'd be watching telly, he'd be kicking up riding the football match or something on, you know. He always wanted sports to and see what we wanted. That's the way it was with him.
Well, now that you're away from him, do you miss him?
I don't really miss him now. If I was in a house a while with him then and we left again, then I'd miss him. The day we came back, I missed him just for a while, but after a while I just got used to the place because my ma was in and out Harcourt Street and here an awful lot.
Well, are you very attached to your mother then?
Yeah, very attached.
And how many more in the family?
I've got 4 brothers and 2 sisters.
Well, do you remember, John, happy times at home?
The only happy time I really had was on Christmas and Halloween and Easter. They're the only happy times, you know. When my dad be in the bed, we'd be messing up about. You know, my dad used to, sometimes he'd go in and we'd sit up late watching the films and we'd be messing about. You know, they're the really only times we had fun.
Well, used to he bring you around to places?
No, he never brought us anywhere. My mother brought us anywhere that we had to go, but my father never did.
So you don't worry very much about him, or you don't care that much whether you meet him again or not?
Yeah.
At the moment, anyway. Mm. Hmm? But maybe you may change your mind after a while.
Maybe after a while, but right now I don't really care a lot for him, you know.
And did that start when you were in England?
Yeah. It started before that, but after a while they were happy and went over. And as we came back, as we were over there a while, he started, you know, we were paying £32 a week for a flat. And it was my sister and my ma paid. My brother had a job packing things, you know.
But you lived in Dublin, John, or in Ireland before you went over to England?
In Dublin.
Yeah. Well, were things all right then?
Oh, they were okay, yeah. You know, about a year was the last arguments, you know, since we'd been in Dublin. And then when we went over there to start, you know, he wanted to be on his own. He wanted to have his own money, you know. He wanted to spend his own money, his own ways, and not care about me mother or us, you know.
But you're quite happy in here, you know, for the time being.
Yeah, I'm quite happy. They're very good to us. They bring us to bats and all. And Ailish McCullough, she's helping our best to get us a house.
And you really look forward now to having a house?
Yeah.
I'll be there with your mother and some other members of the family.
Yeah. We're supposed to have the 26th of June and the 4th. No, the 26th of May and the 4th of June, they said we'll have a house. And I'd be quite happy if we had a house, you know.
And have the rest of the family, even without the father, you'd be still content?
Quite content.
You think it'd be peaceful?
Yeah.
Would you rather be here now than at home, Veronica?
Here.
Why is that? Do you not like being at home?
No.
Was somebody cross to you at home?
Me daddy.
He was?
Yeah.
And what way was he cross? Would he slap you or something, or give out to you?
No, he used to slap us.
Yeah. And were you afraid of him?
Yeah.
And do you ever see him now?
No.
You miss him?
No.
Not at all?
No.
And would you like to see him again?
No.
You wouldn't care if you never saw him again?
No.
He must have been very cross, though, was he?
Yeah.
How long are you gone from your home, Dorothy?
8 months, say.
And who's living here with you now? Your mother?
My mother and me, and one of my brothers. And my big brother comes up to see us. He does.
And do you miss your own house? Do you miss living at home?
Well, not really, in effect. Well, you know, I don't be upset when me ma and dad's fighting or anything. But I miss me dad because me ma just be sick here. I do be afraid in case she gets taken away.
Oh, you'd be afraid that she'd be gone from you, is that it?
And we get put away.
I know nobody will put you away, will they?
Well, me ma has to go with me.
Yeah. Well, were you fond of your father?
Not really.
Why was that?
He was always at me.
Why were you doing things out of the way?
Not really.
Well, were you afraid of him? Did you ever see him now?
Yeah, he just come up to see me now.
Were you happy at home one time? Do you remember any time when you were happy there?
Well, it was only on Christmas night when we dad be out, or any nights when we dad be out, we'd be happy. Because we would have a bit of fun with me ma.
And would he always be cross?
Most of the time he was.
And would he bring you around any place?
No. He'd only bring us, well, it's very odd, at home. I think he only brought us about 5 times out, and that's all. Never brought us any other places.
Are you very fond of your mother?
Yes.
And where do you think now you'll go when you leave here?
Don't know. Probably not next. Probably the week after.
But where will you go to?
To her house.
And will your father be there then?
I'm not really sure.
Would you like if he were there?
In a way I would, because if that happened to me, he might be able to help us out a bit. We wouldn't get put away.
You'd really be afraid of being put away someplace.
Yeah.
While the children are here, Cathy, do they receive normal schooling?
They do. There are approximately 3 schools in the immediate area that accommodate the children. There's one we call Black Pits, which accommodates boys, and then Grantham Street, where the girls' school is, accommodates children up to boys up to 7 and then girls up to 6th class. And they do receive education here, and we do insist that they go to school. A lot of the time you do get the child who has school phobia, which is really how would I put it? It's sort of a reluctance to go to school because they're afraid that when they come back their mother won't be here, or that if they go to school they're going to miss out on something that's happening here. But generally we do succeed in getting them going, because a lot of them do need the education, because they've missed a lot of it by coming here and going there and going backwards and forwards.
Do you find that most of these children are depressed, or usually depressed, or would they be like other normal happy children?
I would say a lot of the time, you know, they get up to mischief, and like a normal child would do. But I mean, what is normal nowadays? I mean, how would one define normal? These children certainly have gone through a very hard time in their homes. A lot of them have witnessed violence against their mothers, and in some cases violence inflicted on them. And I suppose, you know, if a child is now 12 years of age or downwards, if, you know, they have witnessed these various instances, I would expect depression from them. Mm. Not depression, suicidal depression, but certainly modes of behaviour that are different from other children.
Mm. When you have so many children together here, say, what have you, 35 or 36 at the moment, and what ages, from 3 to 4 to 13,
from,
14?
From 6 weeks sometimes, up to 13, 14, 15.
When the older ones are together and they are conscious, of course, that they come from broken homes, do they talk about those things among themselves?
Yes, they do, especially when they're sitting down doing, say, the likes of craft work, making baskets or mats. They tend to, their minds tend to wander, and they start talking on, you know, about, like the particular child there about 2 years ago was sitting down at a painting session and said, oh, to some child beside him, started talking about Rice Krispies, and he said, well, if I eat enough, he said, I'm going to be really big, and when I get to that size, I'm going to kill my father, you know. And then the other children will join in and say, I'm going to do the same thing, like I'll get a hatchet someday and I'll sneak in the window. Always violent, you know, but they do talk about it, not all the time, because a lot of the time they're preoccupied doing other things, swimming or whatever. But then when they do get on their own, I'd say they do talk about it.
They're all more or less aware of it.
I'll tell you when they really become aware of it. It's when they go to school or when they're on an outing. They don't like to be classed as the children from the battered wife's home. You know, they pretend, like if I take them to a play or something, they pretend I'm their teacher. Whereas I'm their mother, you know, with 17 kids behind me, I'm their mother, you know. They do become aware of it then, you know. I don't know that they're aware of the word stigma, but we don't attach any stigma to it. But when they're out, they are very quiet about it, and don't like the girls in school knowing where they're from, and come in sometimes with stories that the girls in school have said, oh, you're from that place around the corner, you know, and won't go back to school for 2 days. That's when they really become aware of it, when other children learn about where they come from. We are
Geraldine is 17 now and the eldest of 5 children. Her parents separated over a year ago, and since then, 2 of the children live with the mother, and the 3 older ones, including Geraldine, live with the father.
Well, it was threatened for years and years. My mother kept running off and then going to stay with relations because she'd had arguments with my father, and they were always arguing.
I remember in bed at night, the four girls used to sleep together. They used to be arguing, and my sisters used to be crying, you know. And my father used to go off and think, well, if I go for a while, maybe my mother will settle down and then we can come back and sort it out. But nothing seemed to work out, and then my mother started talking about getting a separation. And I said, no way, don't get a separation. I'll hate you for the rest of my life if you ever get a separation, you know. And I said it to my father, I didn't want to stay with Idrism. You know, I was totally against it. But in the long run, I found out now that I was much better off with them separated, because it really caused an awful lot of sorrow. And, like, my sisters were always crying, and my mother used to, when she used to go off to her relations, my younger sisters used to say, does Mammy not love us anymore? She's going off on us, you know. And kind of now, well, we kind of have our parents, and they're happy too, and they kind of talk to us. But whereas before, they were always in bad humour because they were fighting with one another, you know, and they never had time for us.
Well, do you often visit your mother now?
I visit her most weekends, and I stay with her, and I do shopping with her, and, you know, it's just, I do housework for her and things like that, you know, and it's okay.
Well, you think the whole lot of you now are happier than you were before, or all the members of the family, the young ones?
Yeah, I'd say they are very happy. I don't know about my younger sisters, because I never really see them and I never talk to them. And before, when we used to be a family, they used to talk to me about things, you know. But now they don't say anything, you know. It's kind of as if they're not part of the family. They're a family on their own and we're a family on our own. But they are happy as they are, you know. They seem happy enough.
Well, do you think then, say, looking back now to 5 years ago, were you happier then than you were now when you had both parents in the one house?
No, because I was forever crying, and my mother was always giving out, and my father was always giving out. But now it's, well, we get along in harmony, you know, and there's never much trouble or, like, there's never fighting there, you know, and my father has a lot more time to do things, and, well, I've discovered my father is a different person. At first, I never really talked to him, you know. Yeah, I think we are much happier.
But does that put a big burden on you, being the eldest of the family and having younger ones there?
Well, at first it did, you know. I didn't know how was I going to cope, like, with schoolwork and with then doing housework and things like that. But it's worked out that in the afternoon, there's never that much to do. And the three of us, if we pull in together, you know, it's all done. And I've just routine, you know. I've got used to it now, you know.
Well, would that put you off marriage now, or men?
Well, at first it did, you know. And sometimes I still am. I don't know what to do, whether I'll get married or not. But I know if I do, I'm going to try hard to keep it together and make sure, you know, I'm marrying the right person in the first place, because as far as I can see, my mother and father were never meant for one another. I don't even know why they got married in the first place. You know,
but when did that strike you?
Well, at first I was too preoccupied with my own situation, you know, with the parents separated and what was I going to do, who was I going to stay with and who I wasn't going to stay with. It was about when after I had the trouble with my mother, she wanted me to go and stay with her. It was after that I realised, well, my mother just wanted me to go up and do housework for her so she could go out, you know, because that's what used to happen when I stayed with her at first. She used to go out all the time visiting aunts and things like that. She was never there. I used to take care of the house all the time, and most of the time I'd miss school. And I realised, well, she's not meant to stay in and be a housewife, as, you know, the real meaning of the word, you know, coming in and washing floors and things like that. She just wasn't meant for it. And as well as that, my mother's a real outgoing type, and she'd rather go out every night of the week, whereas my father'd stay in and he'd read a book or he'd watch the television, you know, because he doesn't go out much now, but my mother does go out an awful lot.
Do you remember your childhood when you were, say, 5 or 6?
Well, not a lot really, you know.
But was it happy?
Yes, I think it was. I remember we used to go to the zoo and things like that, and used to have picnics, and my father used to take us down the country an awful lot with my mother. I don't really remember much more of it, you know.
But does it make you sad now to think of times like that, when your father and mother were quite happy together?
It makes me think, like, what happened, you know. I mean, how could everything go so wrong? And, you know, life is real funny. Whereas one minute it's real rosy and the next minute everything's down on you and it's raining out, you know. And there's lots of problems and there's nothing you can do about it, you know. So.
Do you often meet now, say, other girls that have the same kind of problems you have?
I've never met anybody who has the same problem as I have. There's a girl next door to me. Her mother and father separated, but she was only 11 at the time. And I remember thinking, well, I don't want to be like her. I don't want my mother and father separated. But she used to say to me, well, we've learned not to be ashamed of this. You know, like, I mean, if it happens, it happens. And, like, she was only 11-year-old saying something like that. And she's happier now because of it too. And she used to say that her mother and father used to have awful times, and her father nearly killed himself, you know, one time, because he says, well, you want to get rid of me, and, you know, you don't want me here anymore. He was saying this to the wife, and this was in front of the children, and they said, well, they have none of that now, and they're much happier.
Do you foresee a time now when your father and mother might come together again?
Well, everybody else is optimistic, but I'm not, because I know my mother too well, and there might be a chance with my father, because it was my mother who walked out, and he still wants her back. You know, he's often said, you know, I live in hope, and I hope one day she'll return. But my mother, and I'd say to her, you must be joking me. I'm not going near that man again, you know. I'm too happy. I really am enjoying myself, and I really like my life as it is now. I wouldn't go back for all the money in the world, you know. That's what she'd say. And sometimes we talk serious over it, and she's saying she couldn't go through it again. As far as she's concerned, she had an awful life. And the only reason I can see for that is because she wasn't ready for marriage. No.
Well, your father wasn't an alcoholic nor anything like that.
My father doesn't drink. You know, it's just he was really quiet and in comparison to my mother. And he stayed in all the time, and whereas her friends on the road, they were all going out to do's and, you know, going out with the husbands, whereas my father wouldn't go out, you know, and he'd stay in all the time. And my mother wanted to go out an awful lot too. She wanted to kind of live it up, because she was that type of a person when she was younger, but the thing that stopped her was her father wouldn't let her out. And I suppose when she got her freedom, when she got married, she said, well, you know, now I'm married, I can go out and do whatever I like. But little did she know she was going to have 5 kids, you know, to take care of. And that stopped her. And now she realised, well, the kids are grown up. And the separation, she has her freedom, what she wants, you know.
Well, say, under a court order where the children can decide which parent they can go to live with, you think that's a good idea?
No, it's good in some ways, whereas if, say, you like the mother or the father more than the mother, well, then you can go to the father. But it's whereas, like me, I didn't know who I wanted to go to, and it caused me an awful lot of heartache, you know. I one day I'd want to go with my mother and one day I'd want to go with my father, you know. And whereas in the beginning I cut my father off completely. I didn't even go to visit him, because I thought, well, if I go to visit him, you know, I'd be hurt if I see him sitting there. Because I believe they were telling me he was after getting very skinny and he was withering away and all this, you know. And I felt really guilty over it. And then it really is, you know, it can cause an awful lot of heartache, because you don't know, you can't make up your mind who you want to go with, because they are your parents. And they've given you all they ever had, and you love them as much as they love you. And you just don't know who to go to, really.
When you finish school now, and say you go to work in a couple of months' time, would you still stay in the home with the father on the other side?
Well,
would you feel like going away into a flat and starting a life of your own?
That's what I'm going to do. Going to go away to a flat and start a life of my own, because I've felt that people told me that I accepted what they did wrong, and I made it my fault. I thought it was my fault, you know, and people said that. I felt guilty and I felt all the hurt, and I was the one who felt responsible for it, whereas it wasn't my fault, you know. And I want to get away from all that now and start a life of my own and forget it.
You think that's the best idea?
I think, well, in my case it is, you know. I just feel I want to get away from it all, because I feel real closed in, you know, and tied down and everything. Whereas between going back and forward to my mother, and I know when I start working there's going to be pulling, because my father will say, well, you have to take care of your father in his old age, and my mother will be the same, well, I'm not working and I need the few bob, you know, and I won't know what to do really. So I just want to start a life of my own and try and sort myself out.
Do you ever look for advice from anybody?
Well, just one time I was really upset and I went to the lady around the corner and she told me, doesn't matter about your parents. It's their fault, she said. You don't have to worry about them. You worry about yourself, she said, and you please yourself. And don't care what they say. You know, she said, and I was saying, but my mother said she'd kill herself. Don't mind your mother. I know your mother for years, she said. Your mother always goes on like this, over dramatic, she said. And you just think about your own life, she said. That's all you have to think about from now on. We are better.